Ready? Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you so much for this opportunity to come into the house of the Lord and just speak your word tonight in truth and power. Let us be changed by it, Father. We can't help but be changed once we have an encounter with you. Bless Ignited Church. Bless those that are listening tonight and those that will listen by archive. We just bless everybody that's tied into this ministry. I'm ever so grateful for their support and for their prayers. And we love you. And Holy Spirit, come teach us, lead us into all truth. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody say amen and amen. What an awesome God we serve. There is none like him, none can compare. Great service Sunday, man. I had a great time. Good to see some visitors in the house. They'll be back. Thank you when visitors come. Thank you for allowing me just to, you know, go talk to them and introduce myself to them. I appreciate that. I know there's everybody I want to talk to, and I feel bad when you go home and I didn't hug your neck. I really do. And I tell Jennifer, I get in the car, and I say, man, I didn't hug such-and-such neck or that person, and they ran away from me or whatever. But, no, I do. I do miss that. But I appreciate your understanding. And maybe you planned it that way. You just don't want to talk to me. I don't know. Anyways, battle for the mind. Battle for the mind. I hope this has been a blessing to you as it has been for me. Oh, I want to remind you, Resurrection Sunday is this Sunday. Can you believe that? I mean, here we are already, Resurrection Sunday. We're going to have communion. For those that are listening tonight, we're going to have communion on live communion. That's going to be awesome, and I'm going to make that announcement as well. They can get their elements together and have the communion with us. We can do that, right, live? That's going to be great. I think we're going to have a song and preaching of the word, resurrection seed offering too. You know, give as you're able to give, however you feel the Lord wants you to do that. Man, I'm just amazed we're right here at this time, Resurrection Sunday. There you go. All right, battle for the mind. Last time we got together, I gave you this particular statement. My ability to control my mind will give me the power to control my mouth, which will ultimately lead me to my destiny. How many of y'all remember that and kind of been working on it? Amen. So I got to control my mind. That'll help me give the power to control my mouth. Okay, we're going to break that down a little more this teaching tonight. You are going where your mouth is taking you. Watch what you say and watch where you go. You know, you and I right now are a direct result of the words we say about ourselves. We really are. We're in the position we are today by the way we've talked, by the way we've conducted ourselves. And we framed a world that we now live in. If you want to change your world, you have to change your mind, how you see it through the lens of the Word of God, and then speak it the way God sees it. That's how you change your world. And then you get up and do something about it. Most people just want to say it and blink an eye, and I dream of genie. It doesn't work that way, does it? I mean, I've sat in my room and blinked a Corvette to come in. That never happened. You know, sat in my room and believed for this and believed for that. But how many of y'all know you got to work? So I gave you the breakdown of pneuma, psuche, and the human body. Remember that? And just keep in the mindset as we go through this teaching that the spirit man is number one. Your spirit man is number one. That's how you live. You live out of your spirit man. And your spirit man helps your soul operate or steer your flesh. We usually have it all mixed up. We let our flesh and our soul work against our spirit man. And I'm talking about born-again people because the unsaved don't understand this. They're just dead in their sin. They're dead in their spirit side, but they're alive in their flesh and their soul. But you and I as believers born again, our spirit man is alive. And our greatest battle is not the devil. And it's not people, it's usually ourselves. We're our worst enemies in a lot of ways. The way we were raised, our thought patterns. Again, most of us think about ourselves in a negative way because of the atmosphere and environment of our upbringing. Try that again. Most of us live in condemnation. We live with complexes because of the way we were brought up by the words that were spoken to us, whether they were good or whether they were negative, and they formed around us our own self-opinions about ourselves, which causes us to either, one, think more highly than we ought to, or more lowly than we should. And that's why you have to train the brain, amen? And that's what we're going to do in this teaching as we go along. Remember, we went to Galatians 5:19. We talked about the things of the flesh, and we talked about the difference of the spirit man in Galatians 5:22 through 23. And then we talked about the human body and the five senses. There's nothing wrong with the five senses God has given us. It's a miracle. No other animal, no other creation in the world has the five senses like we do that can experience the world like we do. You know, the beauty of traveling from Idaho all the way, you know, to Livonia, all the five senses of driving. That was a joke, John. I mean, by about the first 100 miles, the senses were dead, I would assume, and that's a long way. I was going to say, when you first came in, I would say, welcome our visitors from Idaho, but it's going to take you about a week to get over that, and I'm sure maybe longer. So the five senses, phenomenal, great thing that God has given us, great tools, great understanding of the world that we live in. But if we do not have those five senses under the direction of the spirit man and the soulical man divinely trained, we're going to be a mess. We're going to be a mess. We're going to be a mess physically. We're going to be a mess spiritually. We're going to be a mess all around our lives because we couldn't get our five senses under control. Okay, for tonight, battle for the mind. I have several statements that I want to give to you as my opening salvo and lob a few truth bombs at you, if that's okay. I want you to write this down, and I'll have to repeat it a couple times, but the true character of a person, the true character of a person is not discovered, the true character of a person is not discovered by their words, but by their actions. The true character of a person is not discovered by their words, but by their actions. They will only do what is in their heart. They will only do what is in their heart, not what comes out of their mouth. I read it again. The true character of a person is not discovered by their words, but by their actions. They will only do what is in their heart, not what comes out of their mouths. Remember, Mama used to tell you, actions speak louder than words. I heard that growing up. I think everybody's heard that. Okay, so let me just pull that apart a little bit. True character of a person is not discovered by their words, but by their actions. You know, people can tell you all kinds of things with their mouth and promise you the rainbow and only deliver you the rain. People will promise you this, will promise you that. But the reality is, all of us would be pretty rich if we had a dollar for everybody who said they would do something for us and never did. Okay? So the true character of a person is not discovered by their words, but by their actions. They will only do what is in their heart. In other words, whatever is inside of their heart, their thought patterns, in the place of the soulical man, that is what they will do because that's all they can do. You can only be who you are. Watch this now. This is going to help open up training for our own mindset, and it's also going to help you a little bit with discernment. But the main point I'm going to make is to open this up. How do I train my brain? How do I have my mind renewed so I don't be a person of mouth and words, but be a person of action and character? Amen. I don't know about you, but I cannot stand people who are not dependable. I guess I'm the only one. I mean, I love people who are punctual, who are dependable. I understand if you can't get there on time once in a while, but how many of y'all know what I'm talking about? The person that says, oh, yeah, I'll be there, brother. I'll tell you, I promise you. In fact, I'll be there early. But they're either late or they don't show up. Okay? And I just added this in there. Our worship, because this deals with the heart, our worship must come from within our hearts, not merely the words. Our worship must come from our hearts, not merely the words. I threw that in there because just the same thing with God. We sit there and we mouth words, we mouth songs, we repeat every word like everybody else does during a song, but our heart is far from God. Okay? So it's the same concept. God knows our character through our worship. Do we really love him? Well, if you really love him, then your heart will be worshiping rather than your mouth, if that makes any sense. So we're going to get the spirit man helping us steer this soulical man in the right direction. Go to Proverbs 23. Let's start out with some scripture. Proverbs 23. All of it's good. But I want you to look at verse 6, and then we're going to get in verse 7. Verse 6 kind of sets us up, gets us to where we need to be. Let me know when you're there. Proverbs 23, verse 6. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye. Now, first, let me give you an understanding. The evil eye is not the guy that's staring you down, you know, Dr. No or Dr. Whoever. The evil eye speaks of the heart. The evil eye, his heart is evil, okay? The insides, the thought patterns, the ponderings, the imaginations of the heart, okay, are evil. So he says, eat thou not bread of him that hath an evil eye or an evil heart, neither desire thou his dainty meats. Verse 7, look, watch this. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, I just gave you that opening understanding of a statement about true character, giving that understanding of discovering that person's character. And in Proverbs 23:7, it says, watch it again, for as he thinketh in his heart, so he is, or so is he. Everybody got that? On the same page? Let me give you the word for thinketh, or think right there. 8176, it is shoar, S-H-A-A-R, shoar. Okay? 8176, yes, that would be in the Hebrew, that thinketh, okay? Now, let me give you the definition of that, and then we're going to break this thing down and get to some more understanding. Thinketh. What does that mean? It means to split open. It also means to calculate. To split open, to calculate. To split open and to calculate. For as he thinketh, in other words, split open means getting to the root of who this person is. There is a root of who you and I are and who you and I is, isn't there? There's a root of who we really are. That's the character part. That's the soulical man. That's the part that God knows and you're still trying to figure out. You have a handle pretty much of who you are, but you're still figuring yourself out. You're still learning stuff about yourself. Is that right? And so as you go through life, you'll continue to learn that as long as you're pliable and teachable and you say, Holy Spirit, teach me, lead me, expose me, bring me to a greater understanding. So the soulical man in the part here where he says, as a man or as he thinketh, in the depth of his mind, in the depth of his soulical part, that's where he calculates. That's where you and I calculate our next move. Isn't that right? For the most part, we calculate our tomorrows. We calculate where we're headed. And here's the thing you need to understand. This doesn't leave the spiritual man out on left field. The spiritual man must be connected with your soulical process so you can walk by the Spirit and live by the Spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? Your spirit man helps your soulical man make the right decisions, do the right things. But we're breaking this down and showing you the true character of a person, and how that when you make decisions, you make them through your soulical man by the Holy Spirit helping you, okay? So it means to split open. Give me some more information. Well, I'm glad you asked. Watch this. For as he thinketh in his heart, say heart, that is the word nephesh. Same word for soul. Same word used back in Genesis when we talked about Adam. He was a living soul. What is nephesh again? The seat of your appetites and the seat of your passions. Everybody see that? We're dealing with the soulical man. So as he thinks, in other words, in that place of the soulical mindset, the mind of man, in the root of it, as it's opened up, as it's calculated, there we find the desires, the nephesh. There we find the passions of a man and of a woman. Okay? Very important that you understand that. Now watch. He says this. For as he thinketh, so is in his heart, so he is. Eat and drink, saith he to thee. But what? His heart is not with thee. In other words, he's speaking words of invitation. He's speaking words of being nice. He's speaking words, whatever, of just, you know, come on, once you eat, let's have a good time. But inside, in the nephesh, his heart is far from you. Okay, what does that give us? What is this revelation you're trying to bring? What I'm trying to bring to you is in the root of ourselves, in the soulical man, that is where our true character is. And that is where the Holy Spirit, through our spirit man, has to have that soulical man renewed so that what we think inside, we do on the outside. In other words, we say what we mean and we mean what we say. We are the same yesterday. We're the same tomorrow. We're the same when we go out to Walmart. We're the same when we stand here in church. We don't change necessarily. We stay the same and be faithful to the Word of God. We're not chameleons. Somebody better help me, because how many of y'all know there's some people that don't have enough character in their soulical man, their spirit man's not strong enough, that when they get outside with Billy Bob and Billy Joe and they start cussing like a sailor, you start cussing with them. If they start smoking a cigarette, you grab one too. I wish I had a friend here. They pull out some beech nut, just a little pinch between your cheek and gum. That's an old commercial. Some of y'all remember beech nut. The next thing you know, you got to get you some beech nut and some Red Man too. Why? Because you want to become like them. That means your soulical man has not been renewed. You're still acting like them, but you'll come in the church praising God. But you'll come in the church lifting your hands. Do you understand that? That's why that opened mind, that split open part of the soulical man, it has to be redeemed, it has to be renewed, it has to be washed in the Word, it has to be washed in understanding, and the Holy Spirit with your spirit man energizes your soulical man and says, no, I'm not going to live that way. I am not going to spit out of one side of my mouth salt water and the other fresh. I'm going to be fresh all the time. Who you see, whose I am. I'm going to be the same as I always am. Can anybody help me with this? And then that's why the world don't like the church, because they look at the church and they say, you're hypocritical. Didn't I see you down at the Crystal Slipper? Didn't I see you down at the Wine Owl? Didn't I see you raising a toast? Well, it was a holiday. You know, all these things. And it matters. Our character matters. But it begins with who we are inside. And if we're not redeemed, in other words, if we're not restored and renewed and have ourselves in line with the Word of God, we're going to not only mess up ourselves, we're going to mess up a lot of people. And we misrepresent Jesus Christ. This is the core of holiness. Holiness ain't got nothing to do with what you're wearing. I could be in trouble. I wore holy jeans last week, so I was holy. But the point of it is, but see, church gets it all messed up, and it's the outward apparel, and it's this and it's that. Honey, it is the inside of a person, and it begins with our minds. And your mind will affect your mouth. And if your mind's right, your mouth is going to be right, then your members are going to be right, and your feet will not be swift to go do evil. You won't even want to hang out with people like that. You'll witness it to them, but I'm saying you won't have lunch with them and hang out with them every day habitually, because that's just not your character. Does you understand that? Now, if you're witnessing to them and you got a project God put you on, that's different. But as long as you ain't acting like them, I don't have to do stuff they do to win them to Christ. I can hang out with them. I can partially go with them certain distance I'm going to go. But I'm going to tell you right now, if somebody says, hey, you want to go to strip club and I'll go to church with you? No. No. Okay, I'm going to go to church. If you don't want to go, fine. I ain't going to strip club to prove that I can witness to you. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? That was recently, that was in the news not long ago, some preacher dude, whatever. And I'm like, hey, man. When your mind is right and your mind is in line with God, then you don't have to do those silly things or even attempt those silly things. So you see that? Split open to what? To the nephesh, to the seat of desires. It's exposed and it's revealed. This is why it's, and I'm going to get ahead of myself, but I have to do it. This is why you got to read the Bible for yourself. This is why you got to study at home more than you do on Sundays and Wednesdays. This is why you've got to take a little time. Fine, I don't care if it's 10 minutes. Do what you can do. Get the Word of God inside you so that that splitting open of that mind as you think becomes renewed. And that nephesh, the seat of the appetites, change. Listen, I don't want to do the things I used to do as a sinner, not only because I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to do them because I've trained my brain that ain't right. I've trained my soulical man that I have to live by the Word of God, and there's consequences for my actions. And that's not just for hell someday or something like that. That's for my family. That's for my church. That's for everybody else. So I've brought my body under subjection, watch this, through the revelation of the Word of God. And someone said, well, it ain't religion. Well, you can call it what you want to call it. I call it exercise. I call it having dominion. I call it being dominant over my flesh. Because everybody's flesh is the same. All of us has five senses. And all of our flesh gets tempted in different ways and fashions and forms. But how you deal with the mind determines what you do with your members. Isn't that right? All right. So I wanted to bring this out. The Holy Spirit brought me to this scripture because it's so powerful to understand that the way you think. Now put yourself in that position. We're having a guy here with an evil eye, but just put yourself in that position. For as Benjamin thinketh in his heart, so he is. As John, as Bobby, as Sue, as Carol, as whoever, as you think. The mind split open, the seat of desires, the exposure of really who you are, the calculations of your mindset. That's really who you are. Because he says next here, eat and drink, saith he, but his heart is not with thee. So there's an exposure there of this particular person, because verse 6 he had, said he had an evil heart. But the truth of the matter is, you and I, there comes a time where we're tested to find out, did we really have the proper open heart surgery or the open mind surgery? Is that right? See, temptations do two things. Temptations come to trip you up or make you stronger. And you ever notice this? Watch this in spiritual warfare. As you go along in your journey in Christ, there are certain things the devil no longer tests you with. He no longer tempts you no more in a certain area because he knows you've mastered it. It's like hitting Teflon. It's like hitting that weight limit and realizing, okay, there's nothing I can do on this area, so he'll try something else. Now, he may revisit that to see if there's any weakness. But see, for some people can do certain things. I don't mean sin. How can I say this? Certain people can walk in the waters of the world, the mud puddles of the world that never affect them. where others can't yet get there. If something comes across their life, it makes them trip up. Does that make sense? The easiest way of saying it is one guy can walk through the checkout aisle and see a half-naked woman in a magazine and be okay with it, understanding that's just stupid, and another guy throws them off in the fantasy land. Did that make sense? That's the best way. I just talk plain. You know, National Geographic and anyways, you fill in the rest. So we have to have our minds renewed. We have to have all that open procedure, if you will, of the Holy Spirit to bring us to greater strength. See, we've been taught, you know, work out the outer body. Okay, that's great. Then we're talking about the spirit man, build that spirit man up. Yeah, I got that. But really what we need to do is work on the soulical man, who's the steering wheel, if you will, of our life, and then allow that spirit man to be built up as well. In other words, both matter to be built up, the spirit man and soulical man. Now, the only way, and I wrote this down for you, the only way the Spirit and the Word of God can penetrate the heart of a person and change our thinking. This is why only the Spirit and the Word of God can penetrate the heart of a person and change our thinking. There's no way to successfully change your mind and your way of thinking towards kingdom thinking without the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Yes, you can change your mind, positive thinking. There's a lot of positive thinking guys out there, you know, think straight, think this, think big, think rich, whatever. That's not kingdom. They're still committing adultery. They're still boozing it up. They're still doing cocaine on the side and all kinds of opiums and different things in life. This is kingdom, buddy. This will give you a holy life, okay? So it's a big difference. Matthew 12, 34 says what? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Is that right? So the word abundance, as we've taught before, means overflow. So out of the overflow of my nephesh, which comes out of my spirit, man, which comes out of studying the Word of God, by worshiping, by praying in the Holy Ghost, by staying in spiritual environment and atmosphere, that abundance will flow out of my mouth. So I'm not going to say, when somebody says, how you doing today? Oh, man, let me tell you how bad I got it. My bunion's about this big. Come on, somebody. You know how it is. I mean, everything's just horrible. You know, everybody's dying. Well, my children stink, and my husband left me. He's a jerk. That's 50 years ago. Come on, somebody. You know what I'm talking about. I still hate them. That is the overflow of the abundance of your nefesh, of your mind, of your spirit. You've got junk, and that's all you know to do. As soon as you open the trash can, bleh. And then, you know, you just want to go, oh, why did I ask? If you ever wonder why certain people don't ask you certain questions, there's a reason why. They just don't want to know. You know, and if you get Dr. Scholl's every Christmas for a stocking stuffer, it's because you keep mentioning about your bunions. People trying to help you out, sister, brother. Come on now. It's the truth. It's garbage bag mouth. I mean, just bleh, everything's terrible. And I'm not making fun of anybody that's got a problem and you're dealing with stuff. But come on, you can't have the same problem month after month, year after year, prayer after prayer, oil gallon after oil gallon of oil. Is that right? At some day, you got to grow up, sweetie. You know, the bunions got to either get cut off or healed. Oh, man. But it's the truth. Or it can be in the other way of finances. I'm always broke. I'm poor. I'm this. I'm that. I'm poor. And it's like Linus with his blanket. And every time they walk around, there's smoke flying everywhere. Here comes Linus. Why would the world want to embrace you and me as a church when we are the ministry of Linus? I mean, who wants to join that church? Who wants to join Christianity? Who wants to join up with Jesus if every time we talk out of the abundance of a heart that's negative? Do you see that? Now, that doesn't mean that you sit there and everything's sunshine. Come on, we got realities. We do have bunions that hurt once in a while. We do have issues. We do have some messed up family members. Don't look around, but we do. We've got some stuff, man. You know, life is crazy. But that shouldn't be our first response. Our first response should be, praise God, man. I'm blessed coming in, going out, in the city, in the field. I'm the head and not the tail. Bless. I mean, you see? So Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of that nephesh, out of that seed of appetites, and out of the passions, it overflows. Okay, I want you to write this down. The Word of God produces these three things. It produces more, but these are the three bullet points I want to give to you. The Word of God produces revelation, examination, and transformation. Revelation, examination, and transformation. Let's break that down a little bit as we're nearing the gate here to head into the barn. Go to Psalms 119. Psalms 119, an awesome, awesome psalm. That's the word psalm. The word psalm. Psalms 119. And I want you to go. I want you to go to 129. I think I'm going to start there. I should really read from verse 1, but keep you here for a while. So the Word of God produces revelation, examination, and transformation. And I'm going to show that to you. Some of y'all never knew Psalms 119 was there. That's long, isn't it? Longest one in there, isn't it? That's because it's the Word. It's about the Word. That means you need more Word. Okay. Now watch. Everybody there. Okay, Psalms 119, verse 129. Thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore doth my soul keep them. Now write this word down. Nastar. N-A-T-S-A-R. N-A-T-S-A-R, Nastar, 53:41. Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my what? Soul. My soul, the seed of my appetites, my nephesh, my mind, my thinking, my pondering, my imaginations. It does what? It nastars. It means to guard. It means to preserve. It means to watch over. So thy testimonies or your word are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them. I guard the word of God because the word of God is wonderful. How you perceive the Word of God as a Christian will determine how you perceive God Himself and how you will receive in your life. If you think church is just a place to go kill some time and because family goes there or whatever, and you just go to be soothed with a word or your conscience, hey, I don't really want to go to hell, so I guess I'll go to church. Or whatever your reason to be in the door, darken the doorway of a church, only you and God know that reason. But if you truly love the Word of God, then you guard it. You watch over it in your mind. You allow your mind to be a training ground, a breeding ground for things that are holy and righteous. And I know I see some of your brains kind of the smoke coming out of your ears, and you want me to get to the point, well, how do I control that? I'm going to give you just a little tidbit before we leave, and then next week we're going to get really deeper into that understanding, because a lot of people struggle in their minds. In fact, the mind is the battle arena for your soul. That's why we're calling this the battle for the mind. It is the battleground that all of us face, and I'm going to give you a little bit of information, but watch, I'm helping you now. If I love the Word of God, then I am going to keep, I'm going to guard, I'm going to preserve, I'm going to watch over that Word in my mind, in my mindset. I'm going to keep it in the front. I'm going to keep my thoughts on God. I'm going to keep my thoughts on the Word. My mouth wants to tell somebody to have a nice day. Come on, how many of y'all shop at Walmart? Wishing your horn was a machine gun. You like to bless them out. You know, in the South, we say, I'm going to bless him out real good. Yeah, we really want to bless people out. But we got to use the mind of Christ and say, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'd like to, but I'm not going to do that. I put a guard over my mind. I put a guard over my soul. I put it over my appetite, over my flesh. I don't want to sin. I don't want to do wrong. I don't want to chase after the world. I don't want to hang out with those that do. I don't want to be drawn by them into that cesspool. I refuse to go back to the vomit that I left. I'm not going to be the piggy back in the pigsty. I refuse to go there. Okay? I'm teaching you something to help you train your brain and train your mind so you don't go back to that mess. Okay? So the other concept of this understanding of 29, thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul doth keep them. I'm to be a watchman over my mind, a watchman over my soul, a watchman over the seed of my appetites. I'm to control myself. Wow, you know what that sounds like? Responsibility and work. See, we teach people, get saved and be like me. That's the wrong thing to say. Don't be like me, please. Get saved and let's train you how to live right. See, we get people saved, and I tell people all the time, I'm great. I love salvations. I love numbers and all that, but discipleship's my key. That's my heart. My heart is to take them from being born again and drinking milk to let's go get a ribeye. Man, let's go get some deep meat. Let's worship together. Let's see fruit in your life. Let me see you become productive in society and in the kingdom. That, to me, is very important. But you got to get them saved, right? And then we start getting them discipled. But a watchman. A lot of us don't even watch over our own souls in the church. Going back to what I just said, we get saved, we get them filled with the Spirit of God, and everything's just wonderful, but nobody takes them by the hand and says, hey, let me teach you how to read the Bible. Let me buy you a concordance, or let me tell you how to get a concordance. Let me refer you to a good Bible so you can study. Why don't you be a part of Wednesday night, and we can train you up and get you stronger in the Word of God. We don't do that. Very few churches really disciple people as they should. Isn't that right? And sometimes you got to go a little further than discipleship on Wednesdays and Sundays. Sometimes you got to have a ISM, some type of teaching where you bring them into a deeper revelation of God. That wasn't a commercial for ISM because that's later this year. Okay, so to be a watchman. Now watch verse 30, or 130, watch it. The entrance of thy words giveth what? Light. That's 20. That's 215, 215, and that word is or, O-W-R, and it's pronounced O-R-E, O-W-R, and it's in relation in the root family to the word let there be light in Genesis chapter 1, or. So what is he saying? Watch, verse 30, 130, the entrance of thy words, meaning the Bible, giveth light or illumination. It giveth understanding. This is all the definition of or. And it giveth discernment. The translation also means the breaking of day. How many of y'all love to see the morning and the sun rise in the morning? Again, I'm a morning guy. People that are night owls don't like me, but I love the mornings. Just and then I don't like the night too much, so that's just me. Who likes the morning in here? Everybody. I do. I love the morning because I don't want to miss anything. I'm like, come on, let's go. My wife's like, shut up. Leave me alone. She's smart, though. So the breaking of the day, this is a powerful illustration of what the Word of God does. It's the breaking of the day. It's the revelation of God. And the Word of God is supposed to do that for us. It's supposed to be fresh. It's supposed to make us go, oh, man, that is awesome. That's why revelation should breed revelation. That's why if you're not in a place where you're getting revelation, then you should get out of that church. People listening to me right now know what I'm talking about. If you're not given revelation, what are you doing? It's not revelation should always produce revelation. You should hear something I say and it explode in your spirit, and you about ready to write a book with it or go run around the building because it just did something to you. Isn't that right? If it doesn't happen every service, it needs to happen at some point where, man, or you're at home reading and boom, man, I never saw that before. That's what the word is supposed to do. The entrance of thy words giveth light. Now watch, it giveth understanding unto the simple. I'm going to tie this all together for you. It gives what? Understanding to the simple. You ready for the translation of simple? Open-minded. Yeah, open-minded. As a man thinketh, his open, right? It opens it up. It brings it to the cord and the flesh. What does the word do? Watch it again. The entrance of thy word giveth light. It gives illumination. And it giveth understanding or discernment to the open-minded. So if I allow my mind, my spirit, man, or my soulical man, if I allow him to be opened up to the word of God, the perception of God, the precept of God, the word of God, the illumination of God, it causes you to have the understanding that God is wanting you to have. And then you're able to be strong in any given situation the enemy throws at you. In any life situation. Listen, most people break down because they're not strong in their soulical man. They break down at tragedies. And I'm not talking about having emotions during a crisis, but I'm saying breakdown, I mean you're no good breakdown. There's a difference between being wounded and saying, man, gosh, that was hard. That's a, what a crisis. But I'm talking about just totally, I'm done. I don't believe in God. Forget this whole thing. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Just totally throw their cross to the ground. That's because they never built themselves up in the Word of God to allow the Holy Spirit to help them to have their mind strong in the Word of God so that when a crisis does come, when an issue does come in their life, they won't fall or they'll falter. Is he okay? Okay. Or anything like that, all right? So just give me about another hour and we'll leave. I'm just kidding. Miss Betty's got to go for a second. So we must open our mind, watch this, to the revelation of the Word of God. So I gave you the three things, revelation, examination, and transformation. Is that right? When revelation comes, there's an examination that must take place with your life. That's why most people aren't challenged in churches because they don't receive revelation. It doesn't cause them to examine their lives. They just come in and go out. They hear the same message. It's the same activities, the same programs, the same blah, 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 blah. And it does nothing to them. But when revelation comes, revelation will produce examination, and the Word of God will cause you to examine your life. And all of us, no matter what age or stage we are, we should have examination of our lives, including your pastor, and more so your pastor. I need to be examined by the Word of God constantly, and so do you. And so what does that produce? Transformation. Everybody say transformation. Transformation. That's the goal. Who are we wanting to become like? Jesus. Well, if we don't go through revelation and examination, we'll never be transformed into the image of Christ. You cannot metamorphosize into being like him just by attending church. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. You have to continuously be in this word. Allow this mirror to affect you. Now, let me say this few points, and then I'm going to get out of here, okay? Give me 5 more minutes. Can you do that? They just got to do stuff they got to do, so we're not rushing to get out. One of the things that I want to throw at you for the next couple weeks, and you could ponder it this week, we all struggle in our minds. I'm looking at everybody. Everybody, every human, everybody listening to me tonight, we struggle with our minds. We struggle with negative thoughts. We struggle with our past. We struggle with the fear of the future. We struggle with the mind. Now, one of the ways the enemy wants to distract you and me and take us off of our course and confidence in God is to constantly condemn us with our thoughts. Now, let me give you a little bit of a weapon here. The thoughts that come to your mind that are negative, that the enemy throws in there, those are not sin. Let me try that again. I'm going to just hit you so the air blows out of the building, and then we'll suck it all back in. When you have a bad thought that enters your mind, that is not sin. It is sin when you ponder the thought, you meditate on the thought, you entice the thought, you develop the thought, and now you've gone from stage one to stage 10. And now you're ready to commit the act. Whether it's a sin of the flesh, whether it's alcohol, whatever it is. But the initial attack of the thought is not a sin. That's why Jesus said, do what? Bring every thought to the captivity, to the obedience of Christ. And I really, really struggled with this until I learned, because my past was, you know, just like yours, you little angels in here. My past was wicked, was very bad. And for the first few years of my Christianity, man, I just got beat up. It was like a beehive in my head. You know, and it was this oxymoron. It was this battle of I'm trying to be good, and I'm saved, and I'm going to church, but oh my God. And then I learned the battle that if I would just recognize and realize that because the enemy throws a thought in my mind, or even my past tries to bring something up, how many of y'all know what I'm talking about? If I bat it down, if I cast it down, if I don't dwell on it, that's not sin to me. Now watch this. If you learn that and exercise that mind activity I'm giving you by bringing every thought to Jesus, saying, no, I don't receive that, you'll become so much stronger in your soulical man, so much stronger in your psuche, in the soulical mindset, that you'll build a defense system. I didn't say the devil won't bring stuff up. I'm saying you won't trip up, and it won't cause you to feel condemned if a thought comes your way. Does that make sense? That's a powerful truth. I wish somebody told me when I first got saved that truth, but I didn't learn it till later, Brother Mike, and I got my face beat it up, you know, black and blue by the devil, because I didn't know that I had the power to rebuke those things, and plus, God wasn't condemning me. He was showing me I was strong by casting it down. Okay, finally, Ephesians 5:26, and we gone. Let's go there real quick. Y'all still love me? I love you. Man, I can't wait to Resurrection Sunday. We're going to have a time in the Lord. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. Ephesians chapter 5. They moved mine. You ever had a scripture moved? I've had like a whole book moved. Come to find out it was in the Old Testament and I was in the New. And let me know when you get there. All right. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 26. Now, this is just Jesus was talking about the church and the husband and the wife and all this, but watch what he's saying here in verse 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. I want you to look at that one more time. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Your mind needs to be washed. Scrubbed, rinsed, soaked, spin it around again, go back and repeat. But that can only be done through the Bible, through the Word of God, through prayer, through time, through challenging your mind. I don't do this activity very much, so I'm not going to sit here and say that I do, but I've done it for years, so I'm qualified to say this. By my bed, I have scriptures and prophetic words and sayings that come from the Lord. And just, again, a bunch of good scriptures, and I use them as cue cards, and I would read them every night before I go to bed, very religiously, very routine, if you will. And I'm going to tell you should do that, especially if you're struggling in an area of your life. Get the word on it and speak the word over it. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you so much for this opportunity to train the brain, battle for the mind. We're going to win this thing. Great troubles coming on this earth. And Father, we need to have the mind of Christ. We need to be stable. When people are running and can't figure out what's going on, and ATMs don't work and can't get in the bank, and people are pushing and hollering, we're going to be stable. And just life in general, Father, if a temptation comes, we're going to be strong not to sin. And we're going to help others and help our brothers and sisters who are weak. Thank you for your word. It is light into our souls, Father. We love you tonight for your word. Bless your people. We look forward to Resurrection Sunday. Give us a great couple days. Till then, in Jesus' name, amen.